Okay, so I'd like us to just pray again this morning. I don't know if anyone agrees with me, but life's just too short to miss a moment with God and a moment just to grow closer to Him. So let's just come before Him and just bring our hearts before Him and allow Him to do something in us. And I really believe God wants to meet with us, not because I'm standing here, but because this is His house. And God has an appointment with every one of us this morning. So, Father, we thank You that You're in the room. We thank You, God, for that which You want to do in our lives, for that which You are busy doing. So, I want you to just, where you're sitting, won't you just engage with God yourself? You have that relationship with Him that we have in the new covenant, where there's no need for any person to mediate between you and God, but you can come to Him. And while you're going to just connect to God, I'm just going to come and I'm just going to pray against every assignment against us, every distraction, because you know what? The Bible says that the weapons that are formed against us are not natural. And so this morning, Father, we come against every assignment against Your people. Father, this morning, we come against every distraction, God, that wants to hinder, Father, us from connecting to the King of Kings. Father, this morning we come against and we expose, God, every lie of the enemy. Every lie said to us, God, and Father, every worry and anxiety that we have in our hearts and in our minds, we submit unto You this morning. And we come into rest. Father, we're reminded of Your word, where the writer of Hebrews says, today, if you hear My voice, obey, and you will enter into My rest. This morning, Father, we say we long for Your voice. We're eager to hear Your voice. And so, Father, every word that is from my heart, from my mind, from my soul, God, we pray that it would fall to the ground. But every word that is from Your mouth, let it find its rightful place in our hearts, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. I want to start off this morning and first just to say hi again. There's a lot of old faces. So great to see you guys. Great to have you guys. Some new faces, welcome. And then there's like just the general church people, welcome. That's just a joke. Okay, so I realized just something that I think sometimes can hinder our intimacy with God. And note, we've been talking about intimacy. Last week, Pastor Heinrich was here. I know most of you were on the Marriage Enrichment Weekend. Hopefully, we dealt with some intimacy there of a different kind. So last week, Pastor Heinrich was here. He was sharing about intimacy. The previous week, Blessing and Jamie Lee were also talking about intimacy. And it's really a theme, I believe, on God's heart. I had this on my heart about 3 weeks ago, and then I heard all these people sharing. So I thought, okay, well, clearly God is doing something in our heart. So I want to encourage you to embrace every moment, every season that God ministers into our hearts. And like I said, I believe, well, every season is a season for intimacy. Can anyone say amen with God? He really loves us, and He wants us to know it. He wants us to experience it with our minds and our hearts. He doesn't want us just to be, you know, He wants us to be close to Him. The Bible's full of it. But before I can talk about that, I just realized that so many times when sharing in the church, and I'm speaking just for myself, I assume a very good knowledge of Scripture. And I don't just assume a very good knowledge of Scripture. I assume that you have a recent recollection of some of the stories. You know, sometimes we move quite quickly. And I believe it's healthy that way. Sometimes, you know, you might be lost because we reference that story or that account of what Jesus did. And then we go really quickly. But I think it's really healthy because I think our standard of knowing the Word and knowing God in the Word should be really high. Right? And just a couple of, I want to just leave you, or start off with, in fact, this morning, with just some inspiration to read the Word again. We're going to continue just to presume that everyone knows the Word, because that's what I believe the Church of God should be like. We should love the Word, and we should be intimately connected with the Word. So the Bible is a fascinating book. Can anyone say amen? Some of the stories in the Bible are the best stories the world has ever told. I mean, there's some movies made on the Bible, but there are still so many stories that are untold, at least to the world, or in terms of cinema. Some fascinating stories in the scriptures. But three things why you should read the Bible. The first one is the prophecies turned out true, right? So there's more than 69, in fact, it's 69 major prophecies of the Old Testament to the New Testament that were fulfilled mostly in Jesus, right? Some scholars would say that figure is over 100. But I think that's a good reason. The Bible is supernatural. It's given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's a good reason. The second reason is the Bible is, and here's just some stats about the Bible. The Bible Society concluded that around 2.5 billion copies were printed between 1815 and 1975. More recent estimates put the number at more than 5 billion. 5 billion copies printed of the Bible. Compared to the second closest is 800 million of the works of Mao Zedong, which was a mandatory book in China for every household. So 800 million, 5 billion, and that's just in a short time. Hannah is getting very excited there. The Bible is translated in 349 languages. 2,123 languages at least have one book of the Bible in their language. Then just another interesting stat, four of the top 10 most famous people recorded in the are in the Bible. Four of the top 10, right, ever, that ever lived. Who do you think is the most famous? Okay, that's quite clear. 24.9 million Google searches on the word Jesus happens per week. 24.9 million. So these stats are based on searches today. So, I mean, we're not talking about old dated, you know, stats about, you know, famous people. We're talking about relevant current stats. So that's the third reason, is the most authoritative account of the life of the most famous person ever to live is the Bible. A very good reason to read the Bible. Another interesting thing, Google claims that there are 129,864,880 books ever written and published. Okay, so it's about 130 million books ever printed. Google, now this is Google. Now this is not like Bible scholars or anything, this is Google. Google estimate that 40% of the books written and bound throughout history were written about Jesus. 40%. Okay, so I hope that's some encouragement to read the most popular book ever written and to dig into the Word. So like I said, we're talking about intimacy this morning. God says that He's a rewarder. He rewards us. God loves to reward us. Sometimes we think it's foreign to, as Christians, expect a reward from God, right? But actually, it's very biblical. God wants to reward us. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about parenting. And parenting today is quite a daunting task if you're a Christian. About 30, 40 years ago, you know, you could maybe as a parent depend on the systems of the schools and so on to help educate your child. And if you're lucky, educate in the scriptures. But today, the system is against Christian parents wanting to grow their children up in the Lord. And universities and so on are a good example of that. By the way, we had a very good result. We were praying for the Cause for Justice cause about the schools. I don't know if someone has informed about that, but the case was it was a very good result for the schools that were fighting. I don't have all the details, so I can't give you good feedback, but that's just on the side. So it's a very daunting task, and so, you know, it's very important to go about parenting very diligently. And take the task very seriously. And Liana was sharing that a very good principle in disciplining your children, that's obviously a very big key to growing up kids, is that that you reward children not for obedience, but you reward them for good behavior, right? And it's quite self-explanatory if you think about it. You don't reward them for obedience, you reward them for good behavior, all right? If you reward them for obedience, you are communicating to them that that's not the standard, right? Is everyone following me? You know, if you're rewarding, every time they do something well, you reward them, they're going to expect it, and it's not going to be the norm. It's not going to be the natural, but you instead reward them for good behavior. And I thought about this, and obviously I witnessed with it immediately, but I sort of thought about it, you know, is it biblical? Because it sounds good, but I want to know is it biblical? And then furthermore, if it's biblical, then it's probably the case for us as well. God rewards us, not for obedience, but because of good behavior. And so one of the parables that came to mind was the parable that Jesus told about the servant that went into the field. He was working the whole day, and then he came back. So the servant was obedient, right? He did his tasks. But then Jesus says, but will the servant now sit down and eat at the table, or will he instead get up, serve his master, bring him the food, and then only sit down, recline, and have his meal? Then he asks his disciples, he says, is that servant, did he just do his duty, or should he receive a reward? And then Jesus says, no, he just did his duty, because his duty was to go out to the field, right? So Jesus says there, there's no reward for obedience. Okay, this might shock some of us, right? Jesus wants us to obey him, because why? He's God, right? And he's worthy. But then the other side of the story is the reward. Jesus says that those who diligently seek me, they will get a reward. I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. And there you see again the behavior. Diligently is behavior. Because if you diligently come to God, it means that you have trained yourself and disciplined yourself into a certain behavior, and that behavior is to seek God. Then you will be rewarded. Do you see that? So God also rewards us when we change our behavior. All right, that's good news. Rihanna shared the word, you know, the dam and God's grace, the dam that's breaking, and then us receiving God's grace. But sometimes that grace is to change the way we do things, to change our behavior, to change our life patterns. And so you can actually, it's good news this morning. You guys can smile, right? It's good news. In other words, you can change your behavior and God can reward you. And God actually wants us to know this. That's why he puts it in the scriptures. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently, I speak often about this word, but diligently means to the full, completely, with a lifestyle of in this case, seeking God. Right, so, firstly, or tonight, or this morning, it feels like night because it's quite dark in here. This morning, we're talking about the gift of tongues and why God has given us this gift. And I believe, and for this morning, it's for us to grow in intimacy with him. Firstly, God will never give us something, or we should never be afraid of anything that God gives us. In fact, the very first time the Holy Spirit is poured out, Jesus, well, just before that, he sits with his disciples and he says to them, if your Father would give you good things, how much more would your Heavenly Father give you good things? And then he goes further and he says, the Holy Spirit. All right. So the Holy Spirit is always a good gift for us, a good thing. God is a Father and he always gives us good things. So if he gives us the gift of tongues, it's a good thing. He's giving us something that is good for us and that will bless us. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 5 says, now I want you all to speak in tongues. It goes on further and it talks about prophecy in the context of the church. But don't forget that Paul is saying here, I want you all to speak in tongues. I want you all because it's going to be good for you again. Then 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1 says, do not be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. That's the NIV translation. Now, why is the gift of tongues weird? It is strange, right? If you look at the book of Acts, it's really weird. People thought that they were drunk because they were speaking in different languages, languages that they couldn't understand. But then suddenly they realized, but these people are speaking languages that we can understand. But sometimes the gift of tongues does seem weird. But now if you think about it, it is actually not that weird. What is the most important thing about man? What separates us from the animals? What separates man from the rest of creation? And some people will say the fact that we have minds, that we can rationalize and think. And yes, of course, it's the case, but that wouldn't have been of much use if you couldn't speak, right? So one of the greatest things that you and I have is the ability to communicate. We can speak, and we can speak by using our tongues, right? And so we shouldn't think it's weird that God gives us the gift of tongues to be able to communicate with Him. One of the phrases the Bible uses for speaking in tongues is communing with God. And I'm building a case for how this builds up our intimacy with Christ, is praying in the Spirit. Now, there's several myths about speaking in tongues. I want to just quickly debunk three of the myths. The first myth is that praying in tongues is not a language. It's not a language. It's just something we do, or it's just gibberish, or it's just spiritual hype. No, it's an actual language. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God." When you speak in a tongue, you're speaking to God, right? That's quite important. That's quite important in intimacy. If you want to be intimate with someone, with your wife, with your spouse, you better communicate with that person. You're not going to get very far in intimacy without any communication, right? This is communication with God. This is what the scripture says. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So in a natural sense, nobody understands, but God understands. Speaking in tongues is a language, okay, that one day in heaven we're going to understand these languages. The Bible speaks about heavenly languages. The second myth is the myth that the gift of tongues will fall on you, right? That is a myth. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 32 says, "The spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophets." In other words, the prophet, you and I, we decide when we engage with God, when we use the gifts, or when we don't, when we start and when we stop. It's not something that falls on you. And then there's three conclusions that we derive from this myth. The first one is it's of occasional use. In other words, I pray in tongues when I'm in church and the worship is really amazing, and then suddenly something comes and then I pray in the Spirit. Of course, that happens as well, but that's not the only time we pray in the Spirit. Secondly, it's not something to practice. Like with any language, A couple of years ago, I started learning Xhosa, and I did a couple of classes, and I felt I can do this thing, and then I just stopped speaking it because I never had anyone to speak to, and now I can barely speak anything, right? A language is something that you practice. It's the same with the Spirit language. We're going to talk about the language of the Spirit just now, but it's something that we need to practice. Thirdly, a derivative of this myth is it's not relevant to daily life. And that is a myth as well. Speaking in tongues is praying. Paul says, when I pray in the Spirit, it's like a perfect prayer. I'm praying to God. So when you pray, he says, I pray without ceasing. In other words, in any situation, whether I'm in a spiritual environment, whether I'm making tents, remember he had a natural job as well. But he said, in all of those, I pray in the Spirit because I pray a perfect prayer to God, and God answers me in those occasions. Then the third myth is you can speak it fluently from day one. That is a myth. Okay? Again, it's something we need to practice. Jude 1 verse 20 says, "But you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." You're building yourself up when you pray in the Holy Spirit. "Staying right at the center of God's love, keeping your arms wide open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ." This is the unending life, the real life. And there you begin to see again the connection between praying in the Spirit and intimacy with God. It's connecting with the heart of God. Now, I want you to see this. This is the progression of the gift right from the book of Genesis to Revelations. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. I want you to see this connection of the ability to pray in tongues. But yeah, the natural, verse 1 of Genesis 11. "Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech." Verse 5. "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them.'" Right? They had one language. Then, of course, we know what happened. They built the tower, and God cursed them, and they scattered, right? And they couldn't understand each other. Note that. We'll come back to that just now. Then we see the prophet Zephaniah in chapter 3, verse 9. He foretells about this gift of praying tongues a couple of hundred years before Jesus even came. And he says the following: "For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language." Did you know that praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, the language that you speak is a pure language? What does that mean? It means there's no profanity in that language. It means that there's no cursing in a spiritual language. In any natural language, every language on the earth, you can speak a curse, you can speak profanity, but not in the spiritual language, right? The Bible calls it the language of the Spirit. "For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they may all call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord." Everyone say, "With one accord." Okay, you're already seeing what's going to happen in Acts chapter 2, right? Okay, isn't it amazing? Okay, prophet speaks, he foretells of this pure language. This is our time, right? This is the times in which we are living, where we have this pure language, and that we may serve the name of the Lord with one accord, in unity. There you see another theme of praying in tongues. It brings us into unity, right? Unification. We see this happening then in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and this as the Spirit gave them utterance." Did you notice that the first miracle that happened in the church was the miracle of unification? The curse of the book of Genesis was reversed. The curse of this unifying the people, which had one language in the book of Genesis that could do everything that they put their hands to. That's what God said. If God said it, then it's the truth. They could understand each other, and they were scattered. The first thing that God then does is he reverses that curse, and he brings them into unity through the ability to speak in tongues. They were unified. They were of one accord. Now, there's four types of tongues. You can call this myth number four if you want. Four types of tongues, okay? I always thought there's two, but there's four. Some people misunderstand the book of Corinthians, chapter 14, when Paul speaks about the gift of tongues, and they think that's praying in tongues, right? So they say to people, don't pray in tongues. Paul said we shouldn't pray in tongues. We should rather prophesy, which makes sense if you read it. But if you understand that there's four different tongues, then you realize, but actually he's encouraging it. The only thing he's speaking into in the book of Corinthians chapter 14 is he's saying, when you pray in a corporate sense, there must be understanding. there must be interpretation. When someone comes in, they don't know things of the Spirit, they must be able to understand. Otherwise, they look at what's happening and they say, well, it's foolishness. What is happening here? Let's look at the four types of tongues. The first two is public and the second two is private. First two public, second two private. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not for those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for believers, but for those who believe. So the first one is for interpretation. Sorry, no, that's the second one. It's a sign. Therefore, tongues are for a sign. So you would think Paul is contradicting himself. Because earlier he said, don't pray in a tongue. But now he says, when an unbeliever comes in, that is the purpose of the speaking in tongues. Again, it makes sense if you realize, but there's two types of tongues. There's the private prayer life, and there's the gift. Okay? It's a sign to the unbeliever. That's the first tongue. The second tongue is for interpretation. Heavenly languages. In fact, the Bible says that there are many languages in heaven. Right? When we're going to get to heaven, we're going to learn some more languages. Right? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28 says, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Right? Variety of tongues. Don't you think that list is quite random? Right? It speaks about very practical things and then tongues. Okay? Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? So here it speaks about heavenly languages, and these are for interpretation. That's when the believer comes forward, shares a tongue in the service, and there's interpretation. Someone says, well, what I heard was this and that, and it can happen through... it can happen through literally hearing the words, or sometimes you can see pictures or you get some sort of understanding. Someone comes up and they share, well, this is what I heard God is saying to the church. Then two private tongues. The first one is the prayer language to God. This is between you and God. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and also sing with the understanding. Engaging with God, communing with God, speaking to God. This is our own individual prayer gift. All right. Then the final one is for intercession. That is the fourth type of tongue, is a tongue for intercession. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the heart knows the mind of what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So in other words, it says that the Holy Spirit comes. He understands the situation. He has all knowledge. He comes alongside our spirit, and He helps us to pray. He helps us to make intercession on behalf of other people, on behalf of situations, sometimes for ourselves, but sometimes groanings which cannot be understood. The Holy Spirit comes and helps us to pray, helps us to intercede. We need to understand that there are these four different languages. Can I just ask the band, if you guys can come up, can we sing that third song? I'm sure you know which one it is. But I want to just invite us this morning to cultivate a diligence in us to seek God. Cultivate change our behavior and discipline. Sometimes God is just asking us just a little thing, just a little shift in how we do things. Recently, about a month and a half ago, the Lord challenged me and said to me that, I must pray in the spirit more. And so I made a decision to pray 15 minutes in the spirit. So I would take my clock and put it on 15 minutes. And for that 15 minutes, that's all I do. So 15 minutes, you think, oh, that's not that much, right? But you'd be surprised how hard it was for me initially just to take 15 minutes because we're so distractible in our modern lives. You know, our phones and, you know, this happens. We never have proper attention on something, right? And so that 15 minutes, I can tell you, changed my life. Just for 15 minutes, that's all I do. And it's actually very practical to put on the clock because then you know you're going to do nothing except praying in the Spirit for that 15 minutes. And it's really been amazing in my intimacy with God because for 15 minutes, I pray in the Spirit. I pray, I speak to Him. It's the language of the Spirit we just saw. And I commune with God, and it really, really helps in that regard. So I want to encourage us to allow God to work in us behavior that He can reward because He wants to reward us, those who diligently seek Him. But let's become diligent worshipers of God. Won't you just stand with me this morning? We're going to sing that song, and if you need to go, then you need to go. This is for you this morning, for you to draw near to God. The Bible says those that draw near to Him, He will draw near to them. But before we're going to do that, I want to pray for us this morning. If you've maybe neglected the gift, maybe it's a bit of a confession time first. You maybe forgot the power of the gift of tongues. Maybe you've just neglected the gift. You've just sort of left it behind. The Bible says do not neglect the gift of God. God won't take it away from you. God is a good God. But you can lose the ability to use the gifts in our negligence, but God will restore it to you. So that's the first group. I want to pray for you if God needs to restore that gift, or you just need a mind change, mind shift. Secondly, is if you struggle to pray in the Spirit, then I'm going to pray for you as well. Or thirdly, if you haven't received the gift of praying in tongues, then I want to pray with you. So let's just all close our eyes. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but if you are in any of those groups, I want you just to stretch out both your hands to heaven and engage with your Father. You've neglected the gift. You forgot about the power of the gift. Secondly, you're just struggling in that gift. Or thirdly, you have not received that gift. And raise both your hands to heaven. Father, we thank You that You are a giver. And I thank You, Father, for all the hands that are raised to heaven now. We thank You for the gift of God that is irrevocable. Father, You will not take it away. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I break every lie that says it's taken away. You've lost it. You cannot get it. It's over. You've missed it. Those are all lies, and I break them, and I speak, and I release Your truth of Your sons and Your daughters, that they have the gift of God. We declare that You are the Father that gives good things to His sons and daughters. And Father, I pray right now for every person that is raising their hands to the heavens, that they would receive again. They would receive again the ability, Lord, to pray without ceasing. Thank You, God, that You baptize them in the Holy Spirit and in fire, and that You release in them the gift of God. Can we just all pray in the Spirit? It's just every one of us here, just for a couple of minutes. Let's pray in the Spirit. Pray in our heavenly language. Just commune with God. Speak mysteries unto Him. If you've never spoken in a tongue, just begin to speak. It's not going to be words in your mind, but it's just going to be words that you speak. Don't worry if you've got questions. You can come and chat to me afterwards. We can go through the scriptures. See so many people just releasing again into this gift. Father, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. Reba Baba Sandre Bechata Sundruba Dramasana Masana Maraba Rabasana Rabasin Rabasundruba Sanama Rabasana. Renew us as the eagle, God. Give us strength to pray. Build up our spirits here this morning. Gribetana Bacharaba Reba Baba Sindre Besindre Bachatri Besinabesurba. Father, I come against every obstacle and everything that withholds your people to come to the throne of grace to commune with you this morning. Every obstacle I remove. The Bible says that I will speak in a language, in the spirit, but I also sing in the spirit. Let's just begin to sing a song. If you're praying in the spirit, just continue. But if you want to you want to sing a song to God, commune with Him in that way, let's just sing a spiritual song to Him. Lift up a song.